diabetes, blood pressure, kidneys, and now I've answered it. The question is insulin, I-N-S-U-L-I-N.
Well,
you know, if the word insulin is not part of your vocabulary,
make it so.
You may be intuitively doing things which my grandparents did and they helped them a lot, but please do not tell yourself that you understand anything, because you don't. If a doctor, you know, if anybody in the radio talks about all of these things, and within the 3 minutes he doesn't talk about insulin, I for one know he is ignorant. I for one know he is incapable of thinking for himself. I for one know that he is following some professor someplace. So we are very fond of, there's this great study which came out of metabolic syndrome. The word, anybody who uses the word metabolic syndrome is not very educated. Okay, we need some.
And yeah, where else could you be hearing this but WBAI New York? We're broadcasting an elongated edition of Science, Health, and Healing with Dr. Ali. And Dr. Ali is letting us have it. He's letting the whole medical establishment have it and letting the whole the whole United States health system have it, because it really hasn't been addressing the critical underlying questions of reversing and maintaining health conditions and reversing disease conditions. And this you can do yourself by making a contribution to the station that gives air to Dr. Ali so that he can let everybody have it. And really, this is a rare doctor that will be so irreverent about the establishment medicine. It's just extraordinary to hear Dr. Ali's pearls dropping along the way as he expresses his own emotional feelings about how, about the ignoramuses who are taking care of our health or not taking care of our health. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. You can get the DVD on reversing diabetes or insulin toxicity, the DVD on reversing kidney failure or advanced insulin toxicity, $75, or the DVD on blood pressure control with natural remedies, $75, or get all three. Three for the price of two of these DVDs is $150. The Dr. Ali 3-DVD pack, and that's what you ask for when you call the call center. Dr. Ali 3-DVD pack, $150. You're on your way to becoming a medical practitioner yourself. You're really on your way. I mean, having by your side your virtual home visit from Dr. Ali will keep you continually refreshed in understanding, advance your own understanding of your own body and its capacity to revive itself, rejuvenate itself, to make those blood cells firm and live again. Dr. Ali, while you were out, I mentioned how interesting it was to watch a plant that's starved of water for a while respond to water. You know, the way the leaves start seeking the sun again, the way a plant has life in it, needs to be cultivated. So do we, don't we?
Yes, let me tell you something interesting. On my windowsill in my office is ginger root, about maybe originally about 6 inches long ginger root. And I am photographing it every month. It doesn't get any water. It absorbs whatever moisture it can from the air. And I haven't given it any nourishment. The last picture that I took is now more than 2 years later, and amazingly, this root, ginger root, keeps sprouting.
It sprouts leaves?
Yeah.
Ginger leaves?
Well, it's offshoots.
Yeah.
The roots.
What is doing offshoot. That for this ginger?
Okay. Well, I will tell you. First, if you just Google my name, Ali, and put ginger, it will take you there. Okay, so that's a simple thing. And you will see I have been photographing it. The main point that I wanted to make was, it was a pure accident. I saw it sprouting and I said, well, let's take it to my office. I wanted to see how long it would go. It is coming to be close to a 23rd month, and I'm preparing to shoot some pictures again. Mm-hmm. And there is a video I have. If people just say, Ali and ginger, it will probably take them to several articles, including that video, which is time. It's like a time relapse, you know, photography. What it tells us, it explains all the benefits of ginger that ancient Indians found, ancient Chinese did, my grandmother did, my mother did. Turmeric, along with vitamin C, is one of the best anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Actually, anti-inflammatory is really an incomplete way of saying. The right way of saying it is ginger and vitamin C, when you have common colds, would be one of the best ways to get oxygen to wipe out those viruses. You know, they will never do. I posted an article, things that they should do for acute, for Ebola, but they will not do. It would be hydrogen peroxide IV plus foot soaks. It would be intravenous vitamin C, 50 to 75 grams. It would be EDTA. Because, you know, what people don't know is there is a thing called consumptive coagulopathy. And people get it when they are sepsis, bacterial infection.
Mm-hmm.
And all pathologists have done autopsies. Anybody who's done...
What that you get in the hospital.
Yeah. But it's not caused by a virus. We know why this happens, clotting and bleeding at the concurrently. Some parts of the body are clotting and some parts of the body are hemorrhaging, throbbing, clotting and unclotting, bleeding. This thing has been quite known to us for quite some time, not coming from Ebola. But we have learned some lessons that anticoagulants are very good for them. In fact, the Americans who've had Ebola, every one of them was treated with heparin and anticoagulant. All what I'm saying is, if you're going to treat them with anti-clotting substances, blood thinners, well, let's do it with heparin, but for God's sake, consider some vitamin C, glutathione, taurine, hydrogen peroxide foot soaks, limb soaks. If hydrogen peroxide intravenously, you are too intimidated because you have no experience with it, I accept that, okay? But not to use the other things. Now, EDTA is the single most physiologic, the safest way of preventing excessive bleeding and excessive clotting in the blood vessels. In fact, one of my patients came to me last week and said, Dr. Lee, I want to take a guess. If you were participating in the care of an Ebola patient, you would recommend hydrogen peroxide infusions and vitamin C infusions. I said, you would be absolutely right, but I would also say EDTA infusion would be my first treatment. I'm not criticizing people who are treating them. I think this is an extraordinarily difficult task to do. I wholeheartedly commend them, I admire them, I salute them. My point is different. We have been treating viral infections for decades. We know that acute viral infections, the thing they respond most to is intravenous vitamin C, intravenous hydrogen peroxide, intravenous ozone, and intravenous EDTA.
Can we pass this on to Texas here, this information? I mean,
well, maybe somebody is listening to this and
so.
They will go to
I
that.
I hope so.
But, you know, he asked me, the patient, he said, well, if you were treating, and I said, you're absolutely right. Those would be my top priority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You see, with heparin and other anticoagulants, blood thinners, sometimes you can overshoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you undershoot.
Mm-hmm.
The amazing thing about this natural way of doing oxygen therapy is there is no way you can overshoot and there's no way you can undershoot. I take those words back. There is no way you can overshoot and there's no way you can undershoot if you have had experience, let's say, with 100,000 infusions. So I shouldn't say that those people who have never used this treatment, it would be safe in their hands. But all I can say is people who've done, let's say, 100,000 treatments over a period of 10 years, yes, there is no way they can overshoot and there is no way they can undershoot.
We're at 212-209-2950. We just mitigated the Ebola crisis right now. If everybody were listening and passing this information on to the healthcare practitioners in Texas, we'd be ahead of the game. 212-209-2950. I want to thank Wilbert Owen of Brooklyn and
a number of others
who have made the pledge for the $150 3-DVD pack of Dr. Ellie's 3-DVD pack of reversing diabetes, reversing kidney failure, and blood pressure control with with natural remedies. Make that pledge now. Make the call now so that we can let Dr. Ali fly here with information about what's happening currently in the air. That is what is, to me, so appealing and attractive about these DVDs and about hanging in and making the pledge to WBAI and giving Dr. Ali free rein to be absorbed by your intelligence. 212-209-2950. Really, there are so few people who are so committed, really, to making the anti-pharmaceutical choice here when it is possible. 212-209-2950 to reversing serious disease conditions and turning them into healing conditions, really, just by the preparations used by our grandmothers and grandfathers and those who live to be 101.
Which work
then, work now. 212-209-2950. You're making a pledge to support WBAI to keep this free flow of conversation, unfettered, uncensored information to your ears from us, from our experts here. Dr. Ali being one of the most extraordinary practitioners of the art of conveying truth to power. 212-209-2950. Please make that pledge to WBAI and keep the notion of insulin toxicity on everybody's lips, because certainly diabetes type 2 is on everybody's agenda here. Every doctor will be, you know, noticing your high blood sugar levels and giving you blood pressure medicine and giving you, what's that drug they give all diabetics to stop them from having
metformin.
Metformin, and well, that lowers the blood pressure.
Januvia
and makes you impotent. 212-209-2950. Don't be impotent. Be the opposite. Take care of yourself. Make sure you understand how it is that you can actually turn around. It has nothing to do with just eating sugar or not. It has to do with really gaining some kind of understanding about how your organs work and connection with each other. How can you say that? Your brain, your heart, your veins, your arteries work together so that you're functioning like a healthy individual and not corrupted and corroded by disease and disfigurement. 212-209-2950 is the number to call for Dr. Ali's courage and assistance and patience and just troves of information here about the way the human body operates and what is scientific and what is old-fashioned.
Janet, I have three more questions.
Hold on. Let me just say that number one more time.
That's right.
212-209-2950. We need your pledges now. We're getting into this, deep into this second hour of the extended program, Science, Health, and Healing, and your pledges are what we need to keep going. So please make that call now, 212-209-2950, reversing diabetes, reversing kidney failure, blood pressure control with natural remedies. Each of these DVDs, $75, all of them, three for the price of two, $150 for Dr. Ellie's three DVD packs. It's all yours.
So here are the three questions. If you like the questions, then I think we deserve a call from you. 212-209-2950. So this is an honor system. I ask the questions, and before I ask the questions, I ask you that if you resonate with the questions, if you think that the questions are designed to promote this ethical conversing that I talk about, then you will pick up the phone, 212-209-2950. First question. Is diabetes reversible, since close to 98% of time people who have diabetes, it's diabetes type 2. So essentially the question is diabetes reversible? Absolutely, categorically, it is reversible. Diabetes is reversible for most people from 5 to 25 years of taking medications for it. So that's the first question. Second question. Can you reverse it? That question can only be answered by you. No doctor can ever answer this question. Nobody should. You know those people who are selling you their prices, supplements, and they're making all kinds of wonderful things. Reversal of diabetes in 7 weeks and doing this and doing that. Somebody sent me a book. One of the doctors really supported a book very, and he's very knowledgeable. He himself has diabetes. So he said, you should read this book. I said, you know, I have such heavy commitments, writing commitments. He said, really, you need to do that. And where it turned out, 3 days later, that book was delivered to me. He bought the book and he gave it to me as a gift. So I said, well, he's given me a gift. I got to at least thumb through this. I'm not going to read it. I don't have the time, but I thumbed through it. I was looking for only one thing. How many insulin profiles does this book show in a table form? This is what we found. This is what we did. This is what we saw. The only person who can claim that he has reversed diabetes for himself, or for any of his patients, you have to show me the insulin and the sugar numbers over a period of 3 hours when it showed that you had diabetes, and you show me 6 months later when there's no sign of diabetes. That's the only honest way of saying that I have reversed diabetes. There was not a single table of insulin profile and glucose profile in this book. So when I met him, that other doctor, sometime later, I said, you know, I thumbed through your book. I think it is a singularly useless book for my standpoint, because the book doesn't give me one iota of evidence that the author has the guts and the courage to prove what he's saying. So my friends, if you do pledge for this, the first answer to the first question, is it diabetes reversible type 2, which is 98% of the time? Absolutely, categorically, unequivocally, it is reversible. Second question, can you reverse it? You and you alone can answer that question. I hope that these materials that Janet and I are offering you will help you. This much I know, that this will help you. The third question is equally important. That is, if diabetes is reversible, and if you do succeed, can it come back? Yes, it can come back. But now diabetes will come back to a person who is a healer, who is a knowledgeable person, who understands where diabetes came from. He reversed diabetes. We are human. So it happens. I will tell you in reality what happens. I have some patients who did get rid of diabetes, and 5 years later, they still have no sign of diabetes. I have some people, one particular person, he lives in Pakistan. He actually has been following my program from this book, and he sends me a follow-up every year or 2 years. I still don't have diabetes. So much so that his previous doctor, who were giving him drugs for diabetes, are saying, well, you probably didn't have diabetes. Okay, fine. We cured him. You know, if placebo can cure diabetes, oh my God, we should treasure that placebo. Okay, if I can cure diabetes with a placebo effect, I want to be the placebo specialist of the whole world. But here is an important thing. This question is not just for me to raise my voice and lower it and try to be a frustrated theater actor. I have really a serious purpose in my asking question. You see, if you lost your diabetes and test showed that you've lost it, and next year some of it came back, it is a whole lot easier for you to lose it again than for those people who never lost their diabetes in the first place. There's an equally important thing. Let's say you lost the diabetes, the tests show that 4 or 5 months later, you feel that the food plan is a little too constrictive for you. Fine, open up one day a week. You will get a little bit of diabetes back. Maybe you'll get a little halfway pre-diabetes back. But nobody gives you medications for pre-diabetes anyway. And fortunately, you can still say, I had diabetes. My blood test proved that. You know, when you do a profile, a 5-sample profile with glucose and insulin, there's a great safety in this. I'll talk to you as a pathologist now. When you when you put all your eggs in one numerical value of one test, that can be very misleading sometimes. As good as laboratories are, I will tell you the reality. If you are trending the insulin results over a period of 3 hours, if you are trending the glucose, now the glucose curve, to any experienced eye, is going to be reflected in the insulin curve, and the insulin curve in any experienced eye is going to reflect the glucose curve. So you now have 10 values, two curves. They should match and support each other. If there is a laboratory error in one of the samples, I look at this. Janet, right now this is your watch. You put it on the counter and my watch is on my wrist.
Yeah.
It is that easy. When you see the profile.
Two watches?
No, yes.
Because slightly, slightly different times.
Yeah, but you are looking at the two profiles. Mm-hmm. My point is, if there's a laboratory error, you find it right away.
Right.
So suppose you find the program that I gave you for losing diabetes. Let's think about another possibility. You look at it and you say, this is too hard for me. I have an answer for you, because I've thought about it, because I take care of people, I take care of real people, I don't just come and shoot my mouth about things that I do not know. There are some patients that I see, or let's say a child 14 years old who is 20 pounds in excess and the parents are very worried. Well, you do the diabetes, the insulin test, he's highly insulin toxic, he's pre-diabetes. So I would say, can you just give him Dr. Ali's breakfast? He can have his dinner. He can have the stuff at the school, at the lunch, etc. It's a starting point.
Right.
And it will take you 2 minutes in the kitchen 5 days a week before the boy leaves the home for his school.
Right.
I think it is very, very wrong to send children with improper breakfast. And I will tell you, American breakfast is designed to produce diabetes.
Certainly.
American breakfast with cereal and eggs and raisins.
And sweets.
And orange juice is designed to produce diabetes. So it should not be surprised why we Americans became number one in diabetes in the world.
The breakfast itself was poison.
Because our breakfast was designed to produce diabetes, mm-hmm. and it did.
Mm-hmm. 212-209-2950 is the number to call to support this station that brings you the voice of Dr. Ellie. A simple matter of your own breakfast. I think it's the fear of sugar addiction, of losing a sugar addiction, that impedes most people from taking a look at what it is that they're putting in their bodies. And I think that these DVDs that Dr. Ellie gives you are very gentle ways of opening your own mind to your own healing. 212-209-2950, or give to the number 2, WBAI.org, is the website to pledge to, the number to call for the DVD Reversing Diabetes, the DVD Reversing Kidney Failure, the DVD Blood Pressure Control with Natural Remedies. Each of those is $75, but all of them is only $150. That's a bargain, three for the price of two. Dr. L.E., three DVD pack, and a number of you have already made the pledge now for
Thank you.
Only one of you seems to want to be mentioned, but that's okay. You from Valley Stream, and you several from Manhattan and Brooklyn. Nina Friedberg from Patchogue is
standing up
for her pledge. 212-209-2950. Make the pledge for the virtual home visit from Dr. Ali. Have that around for you. Awaken your own powers of your body's possibility of rejuvenation, reversing incipient disease or impending disease or the disease you've already gotten. You can turn it around all on your own. And you've already heard several of Dr. Ali's amazing pearls. The egg, the whole egg, the whole cholesterol, the whole yogurt, the fat and the skim. 212-209-2950.
Healthy fats are anti-diabetes. Healthy proteins are anti-diabetes. All fruits are pro-diabetes. All fruit juices are pro-diabetes. Vegetable juices are anti-diabetes.
So that's why the breakfast
has vegetable juice. Yeah, the other thing I want to really emphasize is that when people can lose their diabetes, let's say 3-4 years later, the pancreas, the organ which produces insulin, does regenerate. In fact, in my insulin book, which is coming out in about 4 to 5 months, weeks actually, I have given example after example of how you can regenerate pancreas to produce your own insulin. You can. Do you know, Janet? Okay, here, you have to give me 2 minutes. That's an important.
You have to dole out the time to Dr. Ali for his own show.
You know, seriously, this is an important issue, and I think that I should. Can you get off insulin if you've been on insulin shots? Well, the answer to this is in two ways. What is the hard way? One, it is the easy way. First, let me tell you the easy way. The easy way is that you did not have to be insulin in the first place. You know, I see some patient. I saw the patient who had been on insulin for five years. Of course, I always do an insulin test. And then somebody would say, well, if the patient is on insulin, why are you doing the insulin test? And I say, you have a lot to learn. So, you know, right now I don't want to talk to you. Okay? You live in a different world. If you can raise such an idiotic question that, oh, my patient has been on insulin for 7 years. Why do you want to do insulin test? What can I say? I can go back to medical school, for God's sake. Okay? But I do the insulin test. And these people who are on insulin injection, healthy people, fasting insulin ideally should be less than 2. 3 hours should be less than 2. The peak value, which usually is in the 1 hour sample, sometimes in the 2 hour samples, should not be above 25. And 99% of the people, they will have the peak in the first or the 2 hour samples.
Wait a minute, as high as 25? An insulin count of 25?
Ideally, if it goes up to 25, that's good. A bad is 300. Okay. So now, I do an insulin test. She has been taking insulin shots for 6 or 7 years. So she asked me the same question. I said, let me do the insulin test and then I will answer your question. So when I get the results, we usually make a table. The staff makes a computer table, insulin times, glucose times. It's very straightforward. You just eyeball it. So I looked at her and I said, you know, your peak insulin, I think it was around 77, 78. I said, your peak insulin is 3 times as much as healthy people with a peak insulin at 25, which means what? It means that your problem was too much insulin to begin with. On top of it, your doctor didn't do the insulin test and he put you on an insulin injection. How difficult do you think is to get that person off the insulin shot? Of course it is easy. Now, the other type of a patient is on insulin. You do the test and there is no insulin left. So the peak, it's almost a flat insulin curve. It might be 5, it's starting, and then 7 or 11, and then back to 3. This patient, I will tell him that if you really want to get rid of your insulin, what I will tell her, if you really want to do that, prepare yourself for a 3 to 4 years of enlightenment, knowledge, understanding, knowing. You have to yank yourself out of the old world of insulin shots. Remember, insulin shots always make you more insulin toxic. The plan that I'm presenting in this book is exactly 180 degree different from the plan that the mainstream doctors do. Their plan to lower your blood sugar is by giving you drugs which only work by increasing insulin. The problem is you already have too much insulin. By giving you drugs like metformin, which is pretty good when you really need it, and all the other ones which are really damaging to the pancreas, the treatment is exactly opposite of what you need. If you already have 20 times as much insulin as the healthy person peak insulin, let's say of 25 should be. I have the highest insulin I've seen was 711. You do the math. Why would anybody who's insulin toxic allow his doctor or her doctor to make him more insulin toxic? Why? You say this is a surprising question. Are there doctors who are fanning my insulin toxicity? I say every doctor in the United States who doesn't do the insulin test, who doesn't focus on making your insulin work. The issue here is you have too much insulin, which is fattening, which is fermenting, which is heart toxic, which is brain toxic, which is kidney toxic, which is eye toxic. I can go on and on. You already know, you've heard me say that. The New York Times reported, I think it was around 210 or so, that there are more amputations of toes and the limbs done in New York City every year for diabetes than were done in the entire Vietnam War as a result of war injuries. Just reflect on that. Just look at the stakes. And yet we allow people to go on and make us more insulin toxic. Why? Because the system which profits from disease does not want you to be healthy. But then you, I anticipate your question. You say, come on, Dr. Ali. My doctor is a good doctor. I've been with her for 30 years. She's very kind. She goes to conferences. She's very compassionate. She has all the CME done. Continuing medical education. She has to get a license renewed every 2-3 years. Dr. Ali, what you're telling me is so improbable. I will let you know why it is so improbable. Your doctor is honest, is ethical, is knowledgeable, but she has to do what her professors and what her professional organization wants her to do. You will never show me an article in the New York Times, the New England Journal of Medicine, the Journal of American Medical Association, which says that do the insulin test, define the problem, go on this diet, prove to yourself that you're saving insulin, you're not insulin toxic anymore, your blood sugar's in the normal range, but you never see that. The reason is American Diabetic Association, which also owns, I might tell you, the doctors who do diabetes criteria for World Health Organization. All what they need to do is to control American Diabetic Association and control European Diabetic Association, and your doctor is helpless because your doctor cannot swim upstream. She has family to take care of. She has children who have to go to college. She is also entitled to her own time and her own financial security. And above all, she has to protect her license. So, you know, this idea that, you know, on a leftist station like WBI, somebody is spouting his mouth, what does he know? Well, I will tell you that I have published more than 300 insulin profiles, and my coming insulin book is going to add to it another. Anyone who wants to know the truth is there. In fact, I have a free insulin course. If you just say Dr. Ali and then add insulin course, it will go take you to the course. I have a website, insulininstitute.org. Okay? You can look at this. All what I want you to consider is that if you want to be part of this journey, we are, Janet and I and Michael G., we are on this journey for a different reason. We are inviting you to be part of this journey, for this journey of preserving this voice of courage, this reason, this culture of reason, but something more. We want WBI to bring, to get into your life, bring WBI in your life, and see if WBI can give you some guidance, some encouragement, simple steps. For God's sake, just start with Dr. Ali's Spice Breakfast for your children and for yourself. See how long it takes you. And you might want to call the teacher. If you give your children Dr. Ali's Breakfast, Spicy Breakfast, yogurt or omelette or protein shakes, 2 weeks after that, call the teacher. Ask a simple question. Have you noticed any change in my child's behavior in the class, learning, distractedness? I want your child to prove to you that what WBI is telling you is the authentic truth.
And you are listening to WBAI. You're listening to Dr. Majid Ali and an extended version of the program Science, Health, and Healing, which is ordinarily heard on Tuesday nights at 11. And Dr. Ali, you seem to have inflamed the audience with an eagerness to...
Are they calling us?
We've gotten a lot. We can't hear them, but we can, you know... It's a silent treatment, but
thank
we're getting
you.
A lot of calls. And
thank
I want to
thank your
Joy Tickley from
thank
Brooklyn
you,
and Jose Garcia from Long Beach.
Thank you, Jose.
And Waldemar Carmacho from Dover, New Jersey.
Waldemar, thank
Carl
you.
Carl Buchanan from the Bronx.
Carl,
someone,
thank you.
A lot of people don't want their names mentioned. Eastern, but
we honor you.
They come from all over the place. Willsboro, New York, the Bronx, Manhattan, Brooklyn, and North Arlington, New Jersey. I want to thank all of you for making that call to 212-209-2950. Dr. Ellie is on a tear, and we want to keep him there because the more Terry's on, the more information we will be able to glom on to for our own selfish benefit and finally for the benefit of all of the people in our tri-state area who are listening. 212-209-2950 or make your pledge to give to the number 2WBAI.org. We're offering 3 DVDs separately for $75, Reversing Diabetes, Reversing Kidney Failure, or Reverse or Blood Pressure Control with Natural Remedies. Yeah, it's reversing blood pressure from high to middle, from low to middle, to keeping your blood pressure in the normal range. We'll ask Dr. Ellie what that is. You get all 3 of these DVDs, which are the equivalent of virtual home visits from Dr. Ellie, all of them, for $150, by asking for Dr. Ellie's 3 DVD pack. And almost everybody
please this watch morning them 3 times
has taken the is already brainy enough to know
please
that
please watch them
3 for the price of 2 is a good
please
deal.
Please watch them. Please get a child to watch you, even if it is for a few minutes. Okay, please, if your mom, your aunt has a problem of poor circulation. You see, if you truly understood insulin, diabetes, blood pressure, and kidney, you will really be able to help as a compassionate person, anyone. I absolutely guarantee you. And there are some things which are very, very simple. What does on the tear mean? You
what?
Said Dr. Ellie's on the tear. What does
on
it mean?
On a tear means a tear. You're, let's say, you're pouring forth with information.
Okay, good. Okay,
on
I didn't
a
know
roll.
That. All right. I thought you were tearing me down.
No.
All right, listen. Janet, there's an article which is one of my favorite articles that
ripping
I read.
Ripping through the fog.
Okay, so that the title of that article is of unions and disunions, and if people just Google my name Ali and then unions and disunions, Google will take them there. You know, it occurred to me that we need disunion desperately in our lives to break through the false unions. Because if we are not careful, our unions will not be based on our personal enlightenment and right. our personal experience and our personal knowledge.
What do you mean, disunions from false authorities?
Well,
is that?
Yes. For example, I believe that the beginning of a physician, a true physician, is when he has the courage to unlearn what he was taught in medical school. The beginning of an authentic physician is that he can have the courage to make a conscious decision of disunion from the medical society, not in terms of rebel rousing or hurting people, but in terms of, I am going to test the truth of this statement myself. Okay, the only way a physician can, you know, we all talk about all these laboratory tests, fancy stuff. The truth is that the best thing a physician offers to a patient is her intuition, his intuition. Intuition is based on an enormous body of learning and experience, etc. And so there is a bird which says, let's focus on this adrenal, for example, right now. Mm-hmm. The patient comes to me for my diabetes, and the bird says, look, focus into his adrenal now, okay? Or the bird may say, we really, really need to spend some time on castor oil rubs on the liver. And so somebody would say, what does liver have to do with pancreas? And I'll say, everything. In fact, people who are insulin toxic, the first microscopic change in people who are insulin toxic, this is, insulin toxicity means pre-diabetes. If somebody is insulin toxic, they are maybe 5-7 years from diabetes. That's enough time for anybody to reverse it. So what people generally do not know, that the first unequivocal evidence of insulin toxicity is build up of fat droplets in the liver. Huh. Now, years later, if you do a liver ultrasound, they will say it's a fatty change of the liver, it's part of the diabetes, it's part of the insulin, etc. I find it amazing that in our city, I don't see patients who've had ultrasound of the liver from their endocrinologist or their diabetologist or their any other ologist. In fact, neurologists don't do insulin testing for their patients with neuropathy.
At all.
And I will tell you the number one cause of neuropathy in my patient diabetes. Is insulin toxicity. Mm-hmm. Before it becomes diabetes. Mm-hmm. So, what do you get out of these videos?
And what is neuropathy? Tingling?
Irritation of the nerve, tingling, burn. You know, Lyrica commercial, it says you diabetic
yes,
pain.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
but they should
special,
say.
A special drug
yeah,
to relieve
you know,
your tingling.
And it is. I was looking at that commercial. They said, if you have diabetic nerve pain, I said, why don't you tell them that they are toxic with insulin and they should do some foot soaks and apply some castor oil rubs and take a little bit of a cinnamon or cumin or, you know, there's so much stuff, gymnema silvestre, selenium, chromium. My point is that if you are insulin toxic, please know that you need to focus on the bowel, stop fermentation there, and you need to speak and to focus on your spirit because your spirit is fermenting. All chronic diseases really come from fermentation, either fermentation in the spirit or fermentation in the gut. And the gut fermentation begins with sugar and antibiotic abuse, failure to treat mold allergy, food allergy, and the mind fermentation. Well, it's very hard to stop mind fermentation these days.
It is impossible, isn't it?
That's tough. So I think that...
How about deep breathing? Does that help?
Oh, yeah, that would help a lot. But I think that if
butter on your toast.
But if you engage in some sort of a personal ethical space conversing, then I think you learn to be large enough, not only for other people, but for yourself. So my wife attended a lecture and she was very impressed by the speaker and he spread his hands out and he said, "This you have to be this large for other people." I said, "That's a great advice." And then I stretched out my hands a little further and I said, "And you have to be compassionate to yourself this much." Because in
hugely.
In reality, I think it's very difficult to be compassionate if you're not self-compassionate. Mm-hmm. I think in reality, this may seem like a very self-centered statement. No, it's not. If you listen to people who follow the path, okay, I am certain Dr. King, to my knowledge, did not use this language, but I am certain that you've had the great privilege to be in his presence, and I would have asked Dr. King this burning question. Your life was a life of compassion. But go back to the early years that you were not sure what is your calling. And at that time when you were making an earlier decision that this is my calling. And then from serving the faith, you moved over to the Civil War. And the rest is history. I think if I posed this question in this way, he would have smiled and he would have said, "Son, you're right." Okay? Because the earliest thoughts that I had when I was a teenager, yeah. I want to do something good. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the very idea that I want to be somebody or I want to be do something good, that is self-compassion. The very idea that somebody says, I want to be something.
To use yourself
properly. Yeah, I want to be somebody. I want to do that. Is self-compassion.
Yeah.
All right. 212.
Let's get some more of you to call in here because
please call
our time
us.
Is getting short.
We got only about 15 minutes left.
And there's probably at least 20.
Can I tell them a secret?
Okay. You can't stop like Neroli.
Yeah, no. Here's the secret. You know, when we get calls from you, we go back very lighthearted and we know that you have listened to us, listened to your own inner voice, and you thought that we were speaking for the right purpose and that WBI deserves your support to stay open as a voice of reason, a culture of courage.
Well, that's why it's so thrilling to hear from you, to know that we're being heard and that this intelligence that Dr. Ellie is offering, and that's intelligence in the essential meaning of the word information, is inspiring you to call to find out more about insulin toxicity, more about reversing diabetes, reversing kidney failure, and learning about blood pressure control with natural remedies. Each of those three topics are yours. You get a DVD for $75, a long DVD, a long house call with Dr. Ellie that you can return to again and again, $75 each, or for $150, all three. That's two for the price of two. It's a great bargain. 212-209-2950. Dr. Ali, three DVD pack is what you ask for. If you want that $150 package, as so many of you have already shown your desire for this this session, 212-209-2950, or make the pledge on computer by typing in give to the number 2 WBAI.org, give to WBAI.org, and we want to make some room here. How are those calls? Are they coming in now? There's a little delay here. It's not exactly. We hear a ring and see the results of our pleas here, huh?
No ring. But the calls are coming in.
Yep. Well, that's terrific.
Calls are rolling in over the past, well, 5 or 6 minutes.
Oh, look at that. There are another six or seven calls up there, and we want more. I mean,
be compassionate to yourself.
It's not, and to us. Right. I mean, it's not greed here. It's the opposite is generosity. We want to keep this station alive. There is nothing, it's as simple as that. There's an absolute need in this city, in this tri-state area to which this brilliant beam spreads throughout the tri-state area. We want to keep WBAI alive. I think that's something
loud,
that everyone in this studio shares an interest in that, in the proposition that WBAI should go on living. 212-209-2950, and that all of you should be diabetes free, have normal blood pressure, and have no kidney failure. And you can attend to that by making your pledge now to 212-209-2950, or give to the number 2 WBAI.org. DVD reversing diabetes, $75. DVD reversing kidney failure, $75. Blood pressure control with natural remedies. You heard some of them today. You heard turmeric. You heard cinnamon. You heard
slow breathing.
Peroxide for soaks. Hydrogen peroxide. We gave a little lip service here to castor oil, which
Hawthorn.
We have previously had a bigger love affair with than you've heard yet. Castor oil, the magic of castor oil.
7 drops of hawthorn tinctures, 7 drops.
What does
of
that do?
Seven drops of hawthorn tinctures, seven drops of passion flower.
Ooh.
Is a wonderful therapy for anxiety and for lowering blood pressure.
Passion flower.
Yeah. You know, I want them to.
And $150 for the 3 DVD pack. Yeah. Don't forget, Dr. Ali's three DVD pack. Let's say, just look at
In the last three minutes, calls have come in for Dr. Ali supporting WBAI. That's what we're doing. The most important thing is the radio station, so his voice can be heard on an ongoing basis.
Even if you got 10% self-compassion out of this package.
10%, yes.
Even you got 10%.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that should be very, very valuable to you. Because if you get the first 10% kidney reversal, reversal kidney failure, if you get the first 10% progress on reversing diabetes, if you got 10% progress in non-drug control of blood pressure, then I'm telling you, this is not just 10%. It's a beginning of your walk. It's a beginning of your becoming a healer for yourself.
To know.
So 10%, don't dismiss 10%. Just watch it once. You watch it second time, I absolutely guarantee you there will be a lot of validation of this. I want the voices to come from under your skin. I want the voices of affirmation to come from under your skin, not from your mind, not from your ideology. I want your arteries to tell you we are open.
You can open your
own arteries. We don't need more medication. Oh, yeah, when you breathe slow, the heart slows down, there's less adrenaline, and arteries open up, the blood pressure comes down, there's better circulation.
Yeah.
Okay, but these are the things I can explain in 5 hours, 5.5 hours, easier than I can in the closing 5 minutes when I need your voice to get some more people, Janet, please.
A little more time than that, but I'm going to remind you, and then you can give us Five pearls of wisdom. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. I'm going to take a look at the computer and see what these names are and who's been pledging and from where. We want you to. We haven't heard from Staten Island yet today. We have heard from the Bronx and Brooklyn and Manhattan and New Jersey. How about Connecticut? How about all of the little nooks and crannies? Upstate New York, where this. Long Island, we got a call from Patchogue. How about more of you on Long Island? Let's see you subscribe to this culture of reason, as Dr. Ali calls it, this voice of courage that emanates from WBAI and particularly from him on Science, Health, and Healing. DVD Reversing Diabetes, yours for $75. DVD Reversing Kidney Failure, $75. DVD Blood Pressure Control with Natural Remedies, hear that, $75. All of them. All three, $150 by asking for Dr. Ali's three DVD pack. Like most of you this morning have made that plunge into learning about the big three problems that are existing in our medical condition here, our national medical condition, kidney failure, diabetes, and high blood pressure. Make that pledge now and see for yourself how you can become your own physician and turn your down condition to up. 212-209-2950. Now I'm going to take a look and see who's been calling. We know they have been. And you're going to tell us, are you going to give us a couple pearls here this morning?
Oh, pearls are
you
really...
haven't already?
Pearls are really very simple. If you take a toast, sugar, there's a sugar spike that brings in an insulin spike. You get into trouble. If you take half of that toast, and lap it on with your butter of your choice or coconut, organic coconut oil. If you've never done that, try that. You see, if you put butter or coconut oil or olive oil on a half a piece of toast, then the healthy oils will not let half of the toast create a sugar spike. And if there is no sugar spike, there'll be no insulin spike. Let's take another example. If you take a toast and it will give you a sugar spike, that will trigger an insulin spike that will add to the cumulative insulin toxicity, excess weight, fermentation in your cells, inflammation in your tissues. And it doesn't matter whether it shows up as a rapid heart rate or a high blood pressure spike or tightness in the chest. Now, if you took half of a piece of toast and then added egg to it, healing thing. First of all, most people would prefer to have an egg with half toast rather than a toast alone. I mean, in good old days, if the child was only taking a bread, that evoked a response of sympathy that there is not proper enough nourishment. Now we are in a time that the same thing takes altogether different meanings. Now, 40% of American children are overweight, and almost 10% of them, well, overweight means pre-diabetes. You see, if we only replace the word insulin toxicity and excess weight after you've done the blood test to pre-diabetes, now things clarify. Why do I not prefer the term pre-diabetes? Because did you know that there are no definitive laboratory criteria for the diagnosis of pre-diabetes? Did you know that your doctor has absolutely categorically no criteria that he can use for diagnosis of pre-diabetes? Isn't it interesting that diabetes all over the world, diabetes is a pandemic. They recognize that diabetes is preceded by something called pre-diabetes. One day, it's not that you are in excellent health and the next morning you wake up and the body says, ha, today I'm diabetic. Last night I went to bed, I was not diabetic. It doesn't work this way. When you replace the word pre-diabetes and type 2 diabetes with insulin toxicity, this is taking a quantum leap in your understanding and a quantum leap in coming up with intelligent ideas of reversing insulin toxicity and not becoming diabetic in the first place. And if you have diabetes, to reverse your diabetes. Let's say you like blueberries. Great. If you took 2 ounces of blueberries, you will have a sharp spike of glucose. That will trigger a sharp spike of insulin. That will add to the cumulative burden of insulin. And insulin in excess is fattening. It is inflaming, it is fermenting, it is heart toxic, it is brain toxic, it is kidney toxic, it is eye toxic. You know all this. I just want you to have a clear relationship between the sugar spikes coming from the food and the triggers, insulin spikes that they are triggering, and how they cumulatively hurt you. Now, what would happen if you enjoyed, as I do, let's say cottage cheese, before I have blueberries as a snack? Well, it's the cottage cheese which will not allow the blueberries to create a sugar spike. Let's say you are at a party. Let's say your sister has spent all the day cooking a special meal for you, or your brother is cooking a meal for you. Well, you don't want to be a skunk in somebody's garden party, but look around and see what is healthy fat, what is healthy protein, munch on them before you go on to the pasta that your sister really, really wants you to enjoy. You can learn from these videos how to turn insulin unfriendly foods into partially insulin friendly foods. This is a practical nugget, nugget after nugget after nugget. You know, I'm so conscious of my time that when I offer you my recipes, which I offer you about 50 of them, my recipes first and foremost are based on, it has to be preserving health, healthful aging, not becoming diabetic, not becoming obese, not developing high blood pressure, not then developing problems of digestion and absorption and inflammation and GERD and gastritis and colitis, and everybody talks about that. And then my second thing is, it has to be time efficient. Because I cannot see myself being in the kitchen for 20 minutes just for preparing a breakfast or another meal. And fortunately, I'm not a very good judge of the taste, but my wife is an excellent taste. So I will not post a recipe under my name unless she approves the taste. So together we have this team. And if you say something good about me, if you feel something good about me in the last about 2 hours that we've been together, please say silently something good about my wife, Talat. It will reach you, okay? It will reach you. Do you know when you think well of someone, that is not only compassion for that person, but that's also self-compassion, which we were talking about. Please call us, 212-209-2950. Be compassionate to us, Janet, me, Michael G. And in that, you will find the finest form of self-compassion. 212.
This has been a 212-209-2950. I don't know if we'll be able to thank all of you because there'll be a bit of a tally lag. But I do want to thank those people whose names we've caught already. Ep Kuhn from Princeton, New Jersey. Wanda Fawcett from Brooklyn. Raymond Campbell from Brooklyn.
Wanda.
Veronica Walker from Newark.
Thank you, Veronica.
Caller from East from Shroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, thank
Jose
you.
Rodriguez from
Jose,
New
sir.
York City. Luis Roman from the Bronx.
Thank you, Luis.
Christine Vandenberg from
thank
Amityville.
You,
Baron Miller from Jamaica.
Thank you, Baron.
Pierre Million from Irvington.
And
the pledgee from the Bronx. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Really been...
We still have a few minutes.
Yeah.
You can call us in the closing minutes. We have to give some time to Michael G to set up for the next program. But you can call us. Think about your personal commitment to this voice of reason, this culture of courage. I don't say everything that we say will not proven to be different in years to come, but I can say that we are motivated by our inner sense of ethics and our obligation to you.
And
we will not give you an information with any other agenda. I think that's the strength of WBI, and that's why you need to own up to it. As far as the information, you can have as many. You can call me for a house call anytime as you want to, as long as you have these 3-5 hours It is really doing a house call. People tell me. Okay?
It's the basic house call.
That's right.
All this extra is extra, right?
That's right.
But these are the three areas of information really everybody needs to know about diabetes, about kidney failure, and about blood pressure, because
you know how
get
many
such
times,
bad information
Janet,
about it.
Do you know how many people have told me that by making this information available to their children, their teenagers, they were able to light up that spark that I want a life of healing. And they went into naturopathic school or MD school or nurse practitioners or whatever they did, okay? That's one of the most rewarding things to me is that through this medium, I was able to reach some children, some teenagers, some sub-adults, and they considered that this could be an option for them.
And have become healers themselves?
That's right.
Or heal themselves. Either way, pretty good for the culture.
Absolutely. And also, if a youngster listens to this kind of a material, you have planted the seed that there could be ways of healing without drugs.
Yeah.
Which, incidentally, healing with drugs is a fundamental contradiction in terms.
Give you something else, right?
That's right.
The drugs give you some other condition.
It's been very, very kind of you to support us
Thank you this morning.
It is very nice. It's been... I want to thank Professor Dr.
Thank you
Janet
so much.
Coleman.
Love
Janet,
my
actually, I need
love
to thank
titles.
You. I need to thank you for another reason. I look forward to our shared time here.
I do, too.
So I think we should take leave. This has been Science, Health and Healing. I am Majid Ali and...
Janet Coleman.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And, well, I guess we have run out of material on that computer, surprisingly, being about 2 minutes early. So, well, and here I am without anything queued up. But I am Jim Freund. That previous program was brought to you on recording. This is WBAI in New York City, listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. And coming up will be, I guess it's Hour of the Wolf. I mean, normally 1:30, but as of this month, our interim program director, Mario Murillo, has been putting me on at 1 a.m., which I don't mind. And
as long as we're not being
your mics aren't live. And so it behooves me to tell you that in the meantime, yes, the thon would have ended a week ago. And yes, we should be done pitching, but no, we're not. So, the reason for the nonstop pitching, they haven't yet figured out, you know, ways of raising money off air. Such things are being talked about. There are actually some very good ideas going along. But until that happens, call now, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Did you happen to catch that phone number? 212-209-2950. And call and ask to become a WBAI buddy. A WBAI buddy costs you but a mere $10 a month for the rest of your life and your unborn grandchildren and all that. But for that, actually, you get a thumb drive. And it's actually a rather cool thumb drive because aside from the fact, well, 8 gigs doesn't mean a lot anymore, but it was very cool at one time. But it's 8 gigs filled with MP3s, which is a lot of MP3s, of 100 different speakers, and the best of WBAI, which, yes, does take a full 8 gigs because we're that good. 212-209-2950. Or Gesundheit. You can go online. That's why I didn't open the mic. Or you can go online and go to WBAI.org, not ARG, as some people would have it. It's ORG, O-R-G. And on the upper right hand column, well, near the upper right hand of your browser screen, assuming that you're not doing this on a mobile phone, in which case, sort of like in the middle, it says Pledge Now. And you can click that, and then you can list your favorite show. Well, we know that that show is Howard the Wolf, don't we? We all know that. But, yeah, I mean, there are any number of different things that we can push and pledge, but we are asking you to go to the website. I'm thinking of the movie Help. Go to the window. Leo McKern. To Eleanor Braun. Wonderful, wonderful trivial stuff.
Nothing like network.
Okay, I'll open your mics. But go to your telephone.
Not a thing like Cagney.
Yes, and dial 212-209-2950 and pledge WBAI. We're going to be talking Doctor Who. And I have to still intro the show, but to do that, I have to get equipment working. And in order to have equipment working, well, it helps if I'm not live on the air pitching. But pitching is important because it really is the lifeblood and ability of this radio station to exist. That is the premise behind listener-sponsored radio. It means that you, the listener, are our sponsor. We get very, very, very limited government money. There's a little bit of CPP money, which basically goes to pay for music rights. And there are a couple of capital grants in there. And, of course, being Pacifica Radio, there's all kinds of paperwork that's been fouled up nine ways from Sunday. Name your preferred day, Votan's Day. But primarily, it's you. That's the premise of listener-sponsored radio. We invented the concept before
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter. PBS, before NPR, 25 years before any of those, maybe more than that. 1947, Pacifica Radio was founded in... Can anybody tell us where Pacifica Radio was founded?
Pacifica, California.
Very good. Very good. And what else is located in Pacifica, California, Terrence?
It's a university of some kind. A friend of mine used to go.
But aside from that, in the future, what is located there?
Oh, well, Starfleet.
Thank you! Give that man a Cupid doll.
On the ruins of Pacifica Radio.
Basically, yes. You see, you don't get it. People donate enough. We become Starfleet.
On into the future.
That,
there we go.
So
never
right
give up,
now,
never surrender.
And I don't know. I didn't get that joke, by the way, but listeners' prime directive that you sent me in the email. Now, I'm going to do one first. The listeners' prime directive is 212-209-2950 to pledge $10. Okay, Terrence, it sounded like an offensive joke.
It's a Yo Mama joke for Star Trek fans.
Know what that means.
It's a black thing.
Get near the microphone.
It's a black thing. You would understand. Now, my nephew called me out of the blue. I hadn't heard from him in some time. And he says...
Your nephew was in the blue?
He says, out of the blue, yes. And he said, do you watch Star Trek? You're a Star Trek fan, right? And I said, I know Star Trek. I enjoy Star Trek. I'm aware of Star Trek. Why is this important? And he says, well, because you won't get the joke unless you know the Star Trek universe. And I said, okay. Tell me the joke. And what he said to me was, what's the difference between your mother and the Prime Directive. And I said, okay, what? And his response was, I've never violated the Prime Directive. Implying he had violated my mother.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the joke. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a great joke, but I
laughed. Which is to say what? He gave her a parking ticket, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought it
exactly.
meant.
Exactly.
It works for me.
He spilled coffee on her fine tablecloth.
Ah, yes, definitely.
But it was funny. Did you get the joke?
Yeah. Yeah.
I sort of got it.
It's a very adolescent joke, but it was I would have laughed very hard at that.
Well, more adolescent is the one that Kindia told me last night at the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings with John Langan and Nicholas Kaufman. And hosted by Amy Goldschlager. I have to do the whole thing, right?
Of course.
And that was, of course, Knock Knock.
Who is there?
Doctor.
Doctor. Yeah, we know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But what do you say after the person says Doctor Who?
Doo-dee-doo.
Yeah, there you
go.
Sounded like Valley High.
Most people, Terrence, don't get that far.
Sounded like the opening of Valley High.
Certainly. Actually, it did.
Well, yeah,
I have to do this music with me, but right now, you know what? I think it's time to actually start the show because I vaguely got this computer working vaguely, which meant killing Firefox.
There was a great cover of the Doctor Who theme by a big electronic band that I can't think of which one. That would be a good one to open a Doctor Who themed show with, but I can't think of the group to give it to you.
Well, I use the one by Murray Gold.
Is it the classic?
Well, actually, it's by Brian. Oh, now I'm blanking on his name. The guy who actually wrote the theme.
There was a Ron Grainer who evidently.
Ron Grainer was the.
Ron Grainer. Ron Grainer was the BBC Radiophonic
Workshop. But there was definitely.
No, there was a woman who ran the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. She and two guys. Right. And I'm blanking on. I think it was Victoria something.
I thought that was the producer of the Who Show.
No, Verity Lambert.
Verity Lambert.
But now there was something in Facebook. Someone had sent a link, and this woman had come up with the sound and the electronic stuff and all.
Well,
that
the BBC Radiophonic Workshop was a group of people that came out of the music concrete movement of the late 1950s. And they were using oscillators and various things. There is an entire 2-hour documentary about how they did it and what they used. And there is somewhere online, and I had the link to it somewhere on Facebook, of a virtual. And if people Google this up, you can probably find it. There is a virtual radiophonic workshop. It has the various synths on it done in software, and you can program it and create your own music and who sound effects and all
sci-fi
that.
Sounding theme.
Well, it was a serious in the early days of WBAI, as in the early 60s, there was a gentleman by the name of Ilan Mimaroglu, who was actually fairly well known musician who did nothing but in the early 60s a program on electronic music on WBAI, weekly 1-hour program. And much of that came out of the music concrete, spelled like concrete, but it's en français, it's concrete movement.
So it must be horribly mispronounced.
No doubt. As people would generally mispronounce Ilan Mimaroglu, except that I was an announcer who had to during rebroadcasts of his show in the 70s.
And he probably would have taken you aside had you done that on air.
I think he was actually out of the station by then, but we were still rebroadcasting the material. Because he never quite came back for the free music stores, the concerts we had or anything, although we had a lot of electronic music, most notably Mother Mallard's Portable Masterpiece Company with David Borden and Steve Drews, and Steve Reich, of course, performed for us a good deal, but that wasn't electronic, that was just minimalist.
Right.
We had some youngster named Patti Smith, don't know what happened to her, and we had a lot of unknown people who stayed unknown. Mm. But we had our fair share of ARP synthesizers and Moogs Robert Moog actually attended a concert. We never had a theremin. I was very disappointed. The only time I've actually seen a theremin performed, I was at the former apartment of the now famous young adult writer Scott Westerfeld. And there was a New York Review of Science Fiction reading. This is long before I was the curator, but I was still recording it. That just didn't work out. So it was basically canceled. There were about 8 or 9 people, and we went to his apartment. And for the... instead of having readers, although actually somebody did read, but in between, he played his theremin. He brought out his theremin, and he played it. He and his then fiance, I think now wife, Justine Larbalestier.
Okay.
And that's the only time I've, outside of the movie called Theremin, which is actually rather interesting.
Oh, yeah. Is there a documentary about the actual fellow?
Leon Theremin.
Yeah, I think it was about that time for that movie that Brian Wilson was starting to look a lot better. So,
yes.
Exactly,
yes. Regaining a bit of his health.
Yes.
The non-Keith Richard thing. And
life, you mean, as opposed to undeath?
Get near a microphone, will you?
Life, you mean, as opposed to undeath?
There you go. Speaking of which, Terrence and I are going to be interviewing Watson and Rice on Friday.
Oh.
So we'll be broadcasting that soon enough. She has a new book out, Prince Lestat.
Which is in my possession.
Yes, you are possessed of that book.
Okay.
It's my copy, though. But we'll see. It can be your copy. I'm willing to let you have it.
I have my first edition that you're the vampire, she'll see.
Yeah, well, you'll get that autographed, I hope. And as I always tell writers of that scope, when you have a first edition, it's like you spell my name E-B-A-Y. But this is W-B-A-I. Not to be confused with E-B-A-Y. We want your money. I mean, they want your money more than we do. We deserve it more because you're going to call 212-209-2950. Okay, let's get the show started by playing the theme music. My theme music by Peter Schickele. We will then...
I was like, Peter Schickele did a cover of the Doctor Who theme?
That would have been fun had he...
He's still around, you know.
Yes, although I'm sorry to say I haven't seen him as of late, so...
Or Anna Russell.
Well, he's...
Yes, yes. Well, the times I did see him, he was so active, I'm surprised...
He's almost as old at this point as Petey Kubach.
That's true.
And
which is a perfect time for revival.
Well, it is, and I'm sure that Peter at some point will do that. I produced 2 concerts with Peter for the aforementioned Free Music Store that were his music, and a lot of which is witty. And I was mortified. Maybe I'll play some of his music later this year. I often play it in December, and I was mortified when he had this wonderful piece of 8 instruments, one of which echoed the other, which is a very old tradition. But when the audience heard it, they were laughing and clapping. And I'm going, you wouldn't do that during a Bach cantata, in which they do exactly the same thing. But when it's Peter, and I was mortified, and I was apologizing to him during intermission, and he said, it's the price of fame. He said, okay, yes, this is serious music. People are laughing at it. And in the meantime, I have a lovely brownstone and a house upstate, thank you. So I'll have to live with it.
Yeah.
So there.
You should
release
it under the name Richard Bachman.
No, because then he would have been writing stories like Robert Sheckley. But anyway. Run! Anyway. No, that would be bringing us back to Doctor Who. But anyway.
Yes.
Run, Rose! Anyway.
Run for your life.
Yes. Let's do the theme, shall we?
Yes.
It's time to howl.
I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. The opening credits to Monty Python and the Holy Grail really only covered a fraction of the story. Not just Sweden, but the whole of Scandinavia is worth your attention. Yes, there are lovely lakes and the majestic moose, but also some of the most effed up movies on earth come from this region. Maybe it's got something to do with the crazy day cycles up there or all that fish, but Scandinavia manages to consistently turn out films with a dark, cynical worldview heightened by an ironic attitude that really deserve more attention and appreciation. Famous stuff like Let the Right One In and pretty much anything Lars von Trier does, but also stuff like Dead Snow from Norway about a group of teens fighting Nazi zombies, Denmark's Fear Me Not, in which a loving husband self-doses on an experimental drug and develops some violently psychotic theories about human relations. And if you want to throw Finland into the mix, which is a bit of a stretch, but I'm going to do it anyway, there's Rare Exports, in which Santa Claus is re-envisioned as a giant pagan god of vengeance. Like I said, crazy day cycles. And now SpectreVision, the production company partly founded by Elijah Wood, has had a hand in releasing on home vid a new film, LFO, a Swedish-Danish co-production, and, man, if you weren't aware of it before, Frodo has moved on to backing some seriously twisted stuff. LFO stands for Low Frequency Oscillation, and LFO the film is about this amateur scientist, Robert, played with fusty, weaselly glory by Patrick Carlson, who's discovered a sonic tone that induces an instant and very effective hypnotic state. Not the kind of stuff that should be tinkered around by amateurs, and especially not the kind of amateur Robert is, the kind whose wife and son died under suspicious circumstances and who sees nothing wrong with testing out his discovery on the lovely young couple who's just moved in next door, particularly that very lovely wife. Non-consensual carnal knowledge follows, of course, soon joined by weird marriage counseling sessions, experimental reconfigurations of the nuclear family, and capped off by Robert developing some seriously megalomaniacal plans for his discovery. By the way, did I mention that Robert is medicating for some unspecified mental condition? That's not going to help. LFO is directed by Swedish director Antonio Toblin as a kind of deadpan comedy. Practically all of the action is confined to Robert's house, providing a blandly middle-class stage for Robert's expanding set of psychological atrocities. There are places where the film feels like it's spinning its wheels or going over ground already explored, but it's altogether a tart and grimly humorous exploration of what happens when an ultimate power winds up in the hands of the last person who should have it. And it has perhaps the most nihilistic farewell to an audience ever. And just for that, I love it. I'm Dan Persons. Check out my interview with director Alexander Aja on his film Horns. That podcast is available over at Cinefantastic Online at cfqonline.com.
Now, Dan failed to Dan didn't mention. He's naming all of these Swedish and Norwegian and Scandinavian strange films, like Let the Right One In with monsters and stuff like that. And there is one that he did not mention. There is one that he absolutely failed to mention. And it is called Hour of the Wolf, directed by Ingmar Bergman, 1969. that, of course, is the very original theme, first broadcast about 51 years ago, of the television series Doctor Who. Now, when Hour of the Wolf deals with science fiction, fantasy, and related fields of endeavor, I like to think of it as a highbrow show, even when we're doing junk entertainment, you know, good sci-fi fantasy and things like that. I'm the kind of person who says, don't say sci-fi, it's science, it's SF, you know. Sci-fi is this lowbrow kind of thing, and in fact the term sci-fi was coined by Forrest J. Ackerman in his magazine Famous Monsters of Filmland for the express purpose of differentiating it from SF. The term was created to not mean science fiction. It was the robot movies and monster movies, them, and stuff from other planets and in the 50s.
So Roger Corman films.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sci-Fi Channel is then aptly named because that's pretty much what it's loaded with.
That's right. Except even then they changed their name, although they're trying to get back to sci-fi and even some. They're attempting SF. But their attempts at SF in the past, for the most part, have been, pretty shaky.
You know, they did one amazing thing, which then just completely vanished, which I wish I could remember the name of it. It was that motel, interdimensional motel. The room.
That was very good.
It was brilliant. It was like, I sat there watching
it. It was a miniseries. Originally,
it was a miniseries.
Written for NBC.
Well, that explains it. I was like, I can't believe it was written for NBC. It was very intelligent. But I was amazed at the sheer quality, that the well thought out nature, the originality.
I mean, Battlestar Galapagos was supposed to be on originally. They were thinking was going to NBC, and Universal, whoever owns NBC, decided to put it on the sci-fi channel, and that's how it got railroaded there. But Sci-Fi Channel has never The Sci-Fi Channel had every opportunity to pick up Doctor Who. It had every opportunity to rebroadcast Blake 7-2.
Well, it did actually at one point broadcast Doctor Who, but it only did a couple of episodes, usually out of order, and often at the, and in the early days, around 0500 or so.
I don't recall that.
This was in its first couple of years.
I was watching it in its first couple of years, when Harlan Ellison had a talk show. I think it was called Buzz. I think it was called Buzz.
Right. Like the MTV series, that's all.
This is quite a while ago. Yeah. And it lasted like MTV's 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they really never got Doctor Who that well. And as a result...
And Doctor Who is sci-fi. It's not science fiction in the proper sense.
Not based on anything.
You know, not when the moon turns into a butterfly.
Based on anything that happened this season or any other.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's a borderline fantasy sci-fi more than science fiction.
It's
absolutely
science fantasy if you want to get into really getting down into the terms, just like Star Wars is science fantasy. Yeah. And Star Wars is almost the perfect definition of sci-fi.
All right. Mm-hmm. Although I think that label has stuck more so in the Moffat years than it has in other runs of the program, where I think Stephen Moffat is on record as having gone to say that he wants to go for a more emotional feel, to try and harken back more towards fairy tales than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the reason why the program has run the way it has the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, now we're going to get to talking about Who and actually analyzing it in just a little while, but let me start by telling people and quote River Song with one word: spoilers. We are not holding back. We are going to let you know right now that is actually and all this. If you are not up to date on Doctor Who and don't want to be surprised, although I have to say that at the beginning of the season and the way that it ended up so far, I haven't been surprised. And in fact, a little disappointed, but we'll talk about that in a while. Not Over the Season. I thought the season was great. But the point is that the gloves are off. We're going to be talking Whovian type stuff. I fell into this rut with Tempest Bradford when she was on a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to talk, you know, science fiction and racial issues in science fiction, and we just ended up hooing. This happens all over the place. I end up having all these wonderful writers, and then we just yeeble about Doctor Who because it's one of my favorite guilty pleasures, even when it's
I don't even
not
feel
very
guilty.
Well, yes, but again, the purpose of Hour of the Wolf, you know, it's not a question of, you know, that should be sort of my off-air thing. But this, but I do guilty pleasure shows, and the Whovian shows, of which this is one, is one of them. So this is not to say that if you don't watch Doctor Who, you shouldn't be listening, but this is to say that if you are concerned about not being... There is a WBAI personality who is a huge Doctor Who fan who is behind in episodes. And you cannot...
Turn it off now.
Even... Turn it off now, R. Paul Martin. You are... You know, he does not... And Pickles of the North, his wife, you know, she wants to catch up. At, you know, this is what happens, R. Paul, when you become an official of the WBAI local and national board. You don't have a life anymore. So, and not having a life means you don't get to catch up on Doctor Who. So, people like that, I mean, I really, it's like, my partner and I, we will talk about something, and Sharon is, oh, yes, right. And R. Paul is just putting his fingers in his ear, doing a Woody angle, and, you know, so he won't hear anything about it.
Right.
And I'm usually making up stuff. You know, it's like, well, who knew that he was going to turn into John Gielgud? And you know, because I'm not going to do the spoilers for
him. Right.
But we are doing spoilers on this show because we're here to discuss not so much the history of Who, which you and I and, was it Carol Pinchevsky?
And Keith DeCandido.
And Keith DeCandido did some time ago. We would have had Dan Persons here. He very, very, very much wanted to be a part of this discussion. But alas, he is traveling early in the morning,
okay,
and could not be here. So so we'll do a makeup kind of thing with him at some point.
Was there an odd thrumming sound in the background as he told us on the phone and someone yelling, run?
Yes, exactly. So you guys have to introduce yourselves so that people know who you be.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm James Ryan. I'm sort of a agent provocateur in that I've got two books that haven't been published, but everybody can read right now. Working on a third. Please, Lord, I can find the time for it. And I've also published in a number of places, including Rebeat Magazine, where I've been doing some recent nonfiction work looking back at some science fiction properties.
Ah, and I'm Terrence Taylor, the author of Bite Marks and Blood Pressure, the first two of a trilogy that is one day to be completed. If anyone has an interest in really bloody vampires,
the
do
second
look
one
them.
Isn't that bloody.
The second one is more character driven.
I couldn't deal with
the
first
second one's
one.
More character driven.
But
it's,
both
it's,
Margot Adler and I yes. thought that the second book was. Well, more to my taste,
Well, I liked it. The trilogy in my mind is symphonic in that the first movement is bombast and all the leitmotifs laid out and everything you're going to see is splashed out loudly. And the second movement is the slow build to a climax that terrifies me to have to try to figure out how to write it. I may pump Anne Rice for tips. It's like, okay, you stopped for 10 years, you went back. I actually, one of the interviews, got very good advice, which was her rereading the first five books and getting back into the characters. And it's like, you know, she's right. If I reread the first two books, I'd be totally primed to do the third one. I'd be up to speed with the story. I'd be refreshed in my relationship. All of my therapy aside, I am also known as the Interrupter. I will try not to live up to that title tonight.
That was a villain on Doctor Who, wasn't it?
It should be. Wouldn't that be something funny? Every time the Doctor...
BBC America, would it be commercial.
Well, no, but it'd be great, though, if every time the Doctor started to, like, go into one of his long spiels, this guy was like, it just keeps cutting him off, and the Doctor finally just flips him out of the TARDIS into deep time-space.
Wasn't that Perry's role?
Perry.
Yes.
way back Perry? God.
Well, there hasn't been
Shut up. God, she was so irritating. What was she supposed to be? American? She was like British playing American, though.
And it
was
And
it was fake American accent. It drove me crazy.
You want to talk about bad.
And she found love, and I can't find someone with that voice?
You want to talk about bad American accents somehow relating to Doctor Who. Grace Point.
Episode, and I'm sitting there, I'm watching it, and I'm waiting, because he doesn't talk for like the first 5-10 minutes of the show.
All I've watched of the show so far is previously on.
I only saw the first episode, so I'm watching it, and it was like, okay, say something. Come on. Are you Scottish? Are you American? What are you going to be? Come on. And then he starts doing this weird flat American accent. And it's not a bad accent. He's doing it well. He's not doing it as well as House.
Hugh Laurie. Hugh Laurie and Adrian Lester two actors.
And it's a plausible voice. It's a character voice.
And Ewan McGregor isn't bad.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes. And there are some British who do it well, but the generic flat, "Hi, I'm from America," I hate that British fake accent.
Well, it's certainly better.
And Tennant is close to that. It's not quite as bad, but it's
Tennant's sounds like it's from like Greenland. It's like north of Canada.
The problem is he looks so not American. Having that voice coming out of his mouth, I keep waiting for him to jump into a jig or something.
To his credit, it's better than the first effort, which was Rex is Not Your Lawyer, which. Clips of that started coming out soon after NBC decided not to pick up the pilot.
That's right.
Wow, that I missed completely.
And for a while there was a joke when they would people hear that and say, "Rex is not your Time Lord."
I'll have to go Google that one. I missed that one.
Yeah, but I really, really recommend to people Broadchurch. Broadchurch was brilliant. I really... And it had Olivia... Well, that's what Grace Point is based on.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Grace Point is an American remake of a genius 8-part British mystery series.
My problem was that this came after The Bridge, and it came after... There were like 2 or 3 series that were like... Someone died in episode 1, and we're going to dig up all the secrets of the town for the next rest of the
season. If you're
going to
move mics, let me know first so that
I can, because
it makes really horrific noises. No problem moving the mic. Just signal me, and I will control the vertical
horizontal. It was just too structurally similar to too many other things that were like, another small town with secrets. I got tired of it after Twin Peaks. I'm sure that the British version is better.
Broadchurch, which is northern England, or is it Scotland?
Broadchurch was, I thought, Essex.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that?
It's when I say the word okay.
Your computer or phone wakes up and does whatever you say next.
It says, "Good morning, Jim." It thinks I'm Kirk or something. It's my little tricorder does that.
Now it's unhappy because you've woken it for no reason, and it's 1:30 in the morning, and it was sleeping.
Yes, basically. I turned it off sleep mode. That's why.
You fool.
Now into sleep mode at midnight, in which case it does not respond. I turned it off, which I probably shouldn't. It should be in meeting mode. But anyway, all that aside.
Back to the point. Yes.
Back to the point is,
David Tennant does a crappy American accent. Anyway, that aside, we loved him as the Doctor.
He was a very, very good Doctor. He was, I know that he wins all of the polls because he was the teenage heartthrob.
Oh, yes.
And I come into Doctor Who in the Tom Baker era. And by the way, for Tom Baker alone, on Turner Classic Movies tonight, they had Nicholas and Alexandra. I've recorded that just so I can watch the scenes where Tom Baker plays Rasputin.
Yeah.
That's all I'm interested in on that movie. I was shocked to see that James Goldman wrote the screenplay.
You'll never listen to Yankee Doodle again.
Do pull the microphone.
You'll never
Wait, pull it toward you. Your mic is off. Bring it up. Now, talk to the side of it. See how I am with my microphone?
You mean like,
you don't? No.
Pretend you're about to eat a
Look where I am.
Okay.
No.
No.
Hold on.
Should I be doing something else? Am I good? I've got mine like I'm eating a cob
sugar
corn.
Fatty,
there
sugar
you go.
Okay. And I used to know how to do this crap once upon a time.
And you work for a broadcasting outfit. But anyway.
And he doesn't care if I'm off mic. Or am I on mic? Am I actually on mic?
Yeah.
Here you are.
Yes. Well, the joke wasn't that funny anyway, so it is.
Look, but the joke that I started
So, getting back to the agenda.
Right. So we'll give people to the...
I came in when Doctor Who was first broadcast in the United States. In New York City was on WOR-TV, Channel 9, on Saturday... Saturday mornings,
at 9 a.m.
And I would wake up, turn on my phone, come home after Hour of the Wolf when we were on 5 to 7 a.m., and I did not know what this thing was. It was quite amazing, especially when in the Tom Baker years when Robert Holmes was the showrunner, followed by Douglas Adams.
Yes.
And
I never really saw the Adams years. I must have been to the others because the Adams episodes where I went back and watched them.
Not
on
the
Netflix.
Ones he wrote. I'm talking about when he was
showrunner. Yeah. But no. I mean, I sort of missed that season or so because when I went back and it was catching up.